Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 165 on May the 8th, 2021. I'm your host, Eric, and in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on Vaxart Inc., the United States Natural Gas Fund, and Norwegian Cruise Lines, and we discuss three new trades on Clover Health Investments, Kroger, and Macy's. Now, it's always great to hear from listeners. If you have any questions about the trades presented here on the show or even about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can email questions to eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's E-R-I-C @theweeklyoption.com. I've also created a few videos to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll need to know to be able to follow along with me on this show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch them, or visit the YouTube channel for The Weekly Option. Now, after a couple of weeks of relatively sideways movements in the market, we are back at new highs. The Dow Jones Industrial Average grew 902 points this week, closing at 34,777 points. The S&P 500 index gained 51 points, ending the week at 4,232 points on Friday. Now it's time for the topic of the week. And this week's topic is, what does it actually take to trade for a living? And I had a conversation recently with someone who has a background in engineering, and he's been trading some and looking to move more towards or considering moving towards trading for a full-time job. So there are countless books on this topic, and I'm going to avoid giving you a summary of those, but instead I'd like to share some of my personal experiences that I was really thinking about after my conversation with them. So the first thing that you need is, of course, is risk capital. That is specifically separate from your living expenses. So you never want to be in a situation where, you know, a loss means you can't eat or you're going to lose your car or a house. Or chances are you're going to trade horribly from a mental aspect. So I remember years ago asking a friend of mine how much trading capital he had, and he said, you know, $100,000. So I was like, okay. And I said, so how much money have you saved for living expenses? And he said, $100,000. And I said, okay, great. And how much, you know, money do you have saved for, you know, how big is your rainy day fund? If anything happens? And he says, $100,000. And realized very quickly that he was answering with the same pool of cash. It was the same $100,000 that was going to be his trading capital, his living expenses, and his, you know, rainy day fund. That simply doesn't work well because your mind, you never want to trade scared. And when that, as that $100,000 turns into 90 or 80,000 or 75, or like as it starts to decrease to whatever the pain threshold really is, he's going to be, you know, nervous about trading and not most likely trading more out of emotion and not out of the strategy and the fundamentals. So that brings me up to point number two. The next thing you'll need is a strategy that works for consistent wins and minimizing losses. So without a defined strategy, your success, even if you have it, even if you luck into it, it's just not going to be replicable. So you might have success in one week, and then the very next week lose your gains and then move into lost territory because you're shooting from the hip. So, and regarding the minimizing loss, if your losses get out of control, you'll lose all of your trading capital. One of the things that we used to say on the trading floor is you always trade, you live to trade another day, meaning you never blow out your trading capital. You have to have a means of minimizing losses and maintaining, you know, successful trades as well so that you can stay in the game. And risk management in general makes the difference between the pros and the amateurs, right? Like the amateurs think they can get lucky and turn that into a living. The professionals have to be more methodical in both how they trade and how they manage risk, manage loss. Final thing is a good means of managing stress and being mentally prepared to trade. You will need to be able to focus and maintain your commitment to a strategy, even when your emotions tell you to do otherwise. Most of my trading losses, you know, from the start as well as now, most of my trading losses come when I'm operating more out of emotion versus focusing on my strategy. And it always sounds easy, right? Hey, plan the trade and trade the plan. And then you look at a chart or you get in the market and you're like, oh man, this is definitely going up. It's look at how much, I'm just gonna make this quick trade. And it goes down, it moves against you. Or it just doesn't give you as much as you thought and it moves against you. And you wanna, you know, hit your head on the desk or punch your computer or break phones or all the other things that I've seen guys do over the years when they had trading losses. And at the end of the day, at least if you trade your strategy, you trade your plan, if you consistently are losing money, then you know that you need to adjust your strategy. You need to change the way you're approaching the market. But if you're always shooting from the hip or trading out of emotion, it's hard to change you. So the best thing I always suggest is to learn to trade the strategy from a more of a stoic standpoint and not emotional. And that's one of the reasons why so many guys end up focusing on algorithmic trading. It becomes a purely quantitative game and takes the human emotion element out. So that's it for the topic of the week. Let's get into the trade review from last week, which I wouldn't mind stalling because it wasn't a pretty week at all, but I think it'll be good for every now and then it's good to fall on the sword and have to talk about some losses. So it's the hardest thing about having a podcast each week is that you end up kind of being accountable and having to speak up both not only when your trades do well, but when they don't do as well. So all of that's to say, this week is going to be more of a learning show than anything. all right, I'm kidding. We'll start off with the covered call. We looked at Vaxart, Inc., symbol V as in Victor, X as in X-ray, R as in Romeo, T as in Tango. At the time, the stock was trading for $10.78 per share. I looked at buying stock and selling the May 11 call at $2.20, hoping for a maximum return of 22.5% in 3 weeks. Well, Vaxart stock lost $3.58 per share, ending the week at $7.20 per share. The call option that we sold lost $2.03, which is great, but that leaves us with a net loss still of $1.55 per share. And here's what I love about covered calls. If you just owned the stock, you would have lost the full $3.58 per share. So by selling that option, you created some cushion for the fall in the market. Now, I would definitely buy in the May 11 call and consider rolling the strike lower to the May 7.5 call. You'll collect 61 cents on the call that you sell, but that's still not enough to cover your full loss. Now, even if you sold the June, like if you kick this out a month, the June 7.5 call, you still would not collect enough premium to lead to a profit in the trade. And for that reason, I would simply exit the trade. Sure, you can sell put spreads to add to the premium collected or even sell a higher strike call spread to create an iron condor. However, sometimes it's good to just take a small loss and look for the next opportunity. And that's definitely my plan. And that would likely be the plan that I would give to anyone else looking for a trade along these lines. So when you're doing covered calls, again, like when you're buying the stock and selling the call, like entering the covered call, there's always the possibility of this. Normally, you're able to roll the strike lower to a strike that will still give you enough premium to offset the loss. But in this scenario, there's enough volatility that's removed from the market at these price levels that it's just not there, especially, not for 2 weeks and not even for the 6 week option, which would be the June 7.5 call that I mentioned. So taking it on the chin on this one and moving on. So our next trade was the credit spread. We looked at the United States Natural Gas Fund, symbol U as in uniform, N as in November, G as in golf. Well, when we looked at the trade last week, the stock was trading for $10.51 per share. We looked at selling the May 10.5/10 put spread at 16 cents, which could give us a maximum possible loss of 34 cents per spread. So the UNG ETF gained 8 cents, ending the week at $10.59 per share. Our out-of-the-money put spread that we sold is still out of the money. Now, even though the spread itself was marked slightly higher at the end of the day, your P&L update on Monday would likely show the true values of the spread. So I think the spread was marked up a little bit higher than 16 cents. I think it was closer to 25 cents if you looked at exiting the trade today. But that's just because the spreads were widened out, end of day pricing before the weekend. But as of Monday morning, when you'd actually be able to trade this, you'll see that the price in that spread has fallen. And this is a decent trade still. So, with only 2 weeks left before expiration, I still like the trade, and I wouldn't make any adjustments. But certainly, you want to be aware of both your break-even price and just knowing that below $10.50, you can start to accrue losses in this trade. So, definitely be vigilant. But good trade on that one. Our final trade on the week was a debit spread. We looked at Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings. Symbol N is in November, C is in Charlie, L is in Lima, H is in Hotel. At the time, the stock was trading for $31.05 per share. We looked at buying the May 30.5/31 call spread for 33 cents, which could give us a maximum gain of 17 cents or 51.5% return in 3 weeks. Well, Norwegian Cruise Line stock fell $2.57 per share this week, ending the week at $28.48 per share. The in-the-money call spread we purchased is now out of the money, which means it's a loss. The spread can be sold for or at 13 cents, which would mark a 20 cent loss on the week. Now, I would definitely look to close the spread and sell an iron condor against it. So that's selling the in-the-money or now out-of-the-money call spread that we initially purchased, and then starting a new trade, which would be selling the iron condor. So specifically, I like the May 27.5/27 put spread at 13 cents and selling the May 29.5/30 call spread at 9 cents for a total of 22 cents for the condor, for the iron condor rather. Now, it gets us totally flat on this trade if prices remain, within this kind of $2 price range, which is the current range that it's in right now over the next 2 weeks. So the other option, of course, is simply to sell. You could look at selling two put spreads for a total of 26 cents, which would also recover the 20 cents that you've lost on the week. But this stock looks like it still appears to be heading higher, even though it pulled back this week. So, selling an iron condor versus selling two put spreads, it really just depends on what you see in the stock charts and how you think the stock movement's going to go. If you sell the iron condor and the stock does continue to rise higher, then you, of course, run the risk of having us having a that call part of the call spread part end up in the money. Or if you just feel like the prices are going to continue to move higher and stay within that sort of trading band or trading range, then selling two put spreads not only would recover your loss on the week, but it would also set you up to have a little bit of a gain as well of 6 cents. It's not much, but it should cover your what do you call it, your commissions. And as an old trading manager of mine used to say, it's better than a sharp stick in the eye. So, with that being said, let's dive into the new trades for this upcoming week. So I'm going to start off with the covered call, looking at Clover Health Investments Corp. Symbol C as in Charlie, H as in Hotel, O as in Oscar, V as in Victor. The stock ended the week at $8.62 per share. I'm looking at buying that stock and selling the May 9 call at 65 cents, which can give us a maximum return of 11.95%, almost 12% in 2 weeks. Now, you enter this trade by buying Clover stock for $8.62 per share and concurrently selling the May 9 call at 65 cents. This trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $9 per share, and the break-even price on this trade is $7.97 per share on the stock. And in real terms, the stock purchase would require $862, and you would collect $65 for selling the option. Our next trade on the week is a credit spread on Kroger, symbol K as in Kilo, R as in Romeo. The stock ended the week at $37.73 per share. I'm looking at selling the May 37.5/37 put spread at 19 cents, which should give us a maximum possible loss of 31 cents per spread. So you would enter this trade by selling the May 37.5 put at 68 cents and concurrently buying the May 37 put for 49 cents. This is a credit spread because we are selling the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices stay above $37.50 per share. The break-even price on the trade is $37.31 per share, and in real terms, you would receive $19 per spread that you sell and have $31 at risk. And another thing that I like about this spread is the fact that I normally am looking for credit spreads that I can sell for 15 cents or greater on a 50 cent spread, or 30 cents or greater on a $1 spread. This is actually 19 cents. It's actually, I like that additional cushion. It also means that there might be reason for the stock to go lower, even though it's looked pretty strong. So you just want to be aware of how option prices might be indicative of the market sentiment on which way the market's going to go directionally. So that being said, our final trade on the week is a debit spread. Looking at Macy's, symbol M as in Mike, this stock ended the week at $17.68 per share. I'm looking at buying the May 17/17.5 call spread for 31 cents, which can give us a maximum gain of 19 cents, or that would be a 61.29% return in 2 weeks. Now, you enter this trade by buying the May 17 call for $1.36 and concurrently selling the May 17 half call at $1.05. This is a debit spread because we're buying the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices remain higher than $17.50 per spread. Our break-even price is $17.31 per share in the stock. And then in real terms, you'll pay $31 to enter the spread, and your maximum gain is $19 per spread. So not too bad for a couple of weeks of risk. And certainly if it fits your risk profile, these trades are definitely worth taking a look. So that's it for this week's show. Hey, thank you to all you guys who have hopped onto YouTube and seen some of the new content, and also subscribed. Definitely looking to grow my subscribers. So thanks again for participating on the podcast, Audibly, participating on YouTube, where I can create more visual content. I do obviously post the podcast on YouTube, but it's not visually. It's really just this audio and a stable image. So at some point, I might start recording the podcast live so that people can see me. But I don't think I need to be seen. But some of you have said that you'd like to see that as well. So I'm considering a couple of different formats to be able to do that and do it consistently, so that regardless of my location, you'll see a decent background. So that's it for the week. Thank you guys so much for listening. And as always, happy trading. Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.